Om Shanti. Welcome back for session two. So, did you all write your letter? Mostly? No? Yes? No? No, you didn't. Baba's waiting. Where's my letter? But maybe you wrote it internally. That's okay. Oh, that's okay. Does anyone want to comment or share anything, as I say, not necessarily about the letter, but about the process of doing that?
It was the first question I answered, and when I start to answer it, I realized that my thank you I give to Baba is much more what I appreciate. What is the question?
What I appreciate
what he gives me is the spiritual part. I appreciate very much that he gives me the possibility to be near to him, and that he gives me all these beautiful experiences, and that he gives me the possibility to be who I am. And then, after all this, also the material things I give from him, I get from him, like a beautiful daughter and a beautiful place to stay.
Anyone who had any, who felt that it helped to lighten their load? Anyone have that feeling? No? Okay, if you haven't written the letter, it's worth it, or maybe even if you wrote it internally, anything you want to share about the process, not necessarily the content. Want to share anything? Yeah, go on, Rita.
Om Shanti. I didn't write, but I have been thinking about it, and, you know, appreciating Baba for little things. Not really I'm not looking at the big things, but it's just these small things, like having the possibility to live in a center, having the possibility to be in the surroundings, in Baba's room whenever I want, even if I don't go one whole day, but still, in my mind, you know, I have this small thoughts of Baba, and what went before that, because I was married. I lately became a widow. But me and my husband were not living together. I was in Curacao. He was in Suriname. And at the end of his life, I was with him. And that thanks to Baba, that gave me the possibility when he became ill, through my children, I always had contact about him. And when he got ill, my youngest son called me. He said, Mommy, can I talk to you? And I said, yes, what about Daddy? I said, okay. But then when I went to Suriname, I visited him where he was in the elderly home. And he never expected that. So when he saw me, he looked at me, he said, did you come to visit me? I said, why not? And we sat and we chatted for 2 hours or something like that. And afterwards, I could call him without him neglecting it or whatever. I could send him an email and he would reply. But the relationship with his mother was not okay either. And at the time when he was in the hospital, the last part of his life, I spoke to my brother-in-law, his brother, because the relationship with the family, except his mother, was good. And I said, the only thing now still is your mother, Mama. And in my meditations, whenever I had a chance, I was always sending the good wishes, and I was sure that it would be okay, because Baba would take care of that, it would be okay at the end. And then he came to the hospital one afternoon, he said, Mommy's ready for this. I said, okay, tomorrow morning I'll go straight to her after the hospital. And she was standing there with her arms open and she said, let's forget about everything. So we never talked about anything that happened. It just, and it was okay. And I'm sure this is what Baba gave me because of my trust, that it, my belief that it will become okay. And I'm very thankful. I appreciate everything that was given to me in this way and many other things. Om Shanti.
Shanti, thank you for sharing. It's beautiful. You know, in a way that leads into what we're going to talk about this afternoon, because you really gave happiness to that soul, right? And you did that with a big heart. In a way, you didn't need to, but also in doing what you did, you cleared whatever accounts were there. Your mind could be free. So, you know, this connection in our relationships, keeping things clear and clean, keeping ourselves clear and clean inside, is just so important. Yeah, okay, sure, why not? It's important.
Baba has always been saying, stay in the family. So for years we stayed together, and I really had a thought, Baba says, stay in the family, stay in the family, stay in the family. So when at a certain point, we decided to split up. We never divorced, but we both went our ways. And in the beginning it was very difficult, because I had thought, Baba says, stay in the family, stay in the family, stay in the family. But then things opened. And the chance that I got to go to Curaçao for service is because we were not together anymore. And that is also one of the things, because that gave me so many opportunities to grow.
Thank you. So all the some earnings goes into his account as well then. Right? That's the thing. When we give each other permission. He also got a dividend from Baba. So yes, our relationship's very, very important. And you know, this is where I do have to be in life and give happiness to all those around me. It's not just a question of the BK family, but it is my Lokik family. The, you know, and in a way, I almost don't like that term, Lokik family, you know. It's your family, you know. It's okay. and we all have our, you know, connections and responsibilities and anyway, many things. So, if we're thinking about relationships, look at this. Isn't this a lovely slide? So this is a photo which shows incredible happiness in relationships, right? A huge amount of happiness in that photo. And I just love to look at it. And you see Baba smiling. There's not that many photos where Baba's so relaxed and smiling like that, you know? It's quite incredible. And yes, you can recognize Daddy Janki. And yesterday somebody said, oh, she's got a mischievous twinkle in her eye. Yeah? And just below Daddy is Daddy Nimoshanta, Baba's daughter. To the left, sort of leaning on Baba, is Daddy Manoha. Some of you remember her, very young age. I'm not sure who this one is. I don't know if anybody knows. So there they are around Baba. It looks like they're cleaning some beans or something like that. And, you know, Baba, in giving happiness, Baba just didn't sit there and give good wishes. Baba actually was with the children in everything and in every task. So they really felt, you know, like the presence of the mother and father, Mama and Baba. And you see all the photos, Baba mending the road, Baba, you know, all the things that Baba would do with them. So the Baba didn't do anything, didn't expect them to do anything that he wouldn't do. Baba was with them. And at one point when we were talking to Daddy in this retreat, we were talking about faith, and then Daddy Janki said, it's not a question of faith, but it's reality. You know, you don't have to have faith, it's here. And, you know, when you're with your mother and father, that's it. And there with Sakar Baba, we were with Aviat Baba a couple of nights ago. And it's interesting how both Sudesh Didi, when she was meeting the European group, and then Mohini Ben in her class, both said the meeting with Aviat Baba that evening reminded them of the meeting with Sakar Baba. It was very interesting because there wasn't that transition, and they really also got that Sakar feeling, and, you know, that Baba was really present. Of course, Baba's present with us, but, you know, it was somehow very, very special. So if you look at this picture, you can see that there are many signs of happiness, many aspects of happiness. And if you look at the eyes, you look at the body language, you know, all of that, it exudes happiness. So what I'd like you to do is just reflect for a few minutes and make a list, each make a list of 10 aspects of happiness you can see in this picture. 10 things in this picture that you can see really in the relationship, relationships that have, that create the happiness that you see there. Okay, I'd like to do that. You got your 10 points? Not yet? Sorry? Difficult, you can find 20. I haven't got a notebook today. Yesterday I made a note about 14 different points from this photo. Wonderful. You only have 5. Okay, try a bit harder. Come on. You have 10. Jorge has 10. Actually, I can just see seeing everyone's, all your faces looking at that photo. You all are smiling. Okay, all right. Okay, so just share, just shout out your qualities, and you'll find more than 10 in the room, that's for sure. Yeah. Belonging, playfulness, inclusiveness, contentment, sharing, companionship, cheerfulness. Did I miss one? Security, love, lightness, peace, warmth, cheerfulness. Sorry? Trust and safety. Trust and safety. Involvement. Sparkling. Cooperation. Appreciation. Harmony. Learning. Unity. Acceptance. Openness. Interdependence. We must be way past 10 now. Sorry? A common task. Relaxed, yes, yeah, so easy. Lightness. Pardon? Beauty, yes. Closeness, yes.
Often when people want to take a photo of us and we are aware, we actually smile.
But this is not with awareness, this is just like as if surprise, yes, this is just natural.
And I thought because the lady, the photographer belongs to that circle.
Ah, the photographer belongs to the circle.
And that Ramabha
me, in that photograph, is the center of that universe.
Yeah.
Like the sun.
He's the sun. Absolutely, the center of the universe. Beautiful. Yes, yeah, so somebody said that yesterday, the first time seeing a photo when Baba's showing his teeth. Baba had good teeth. Daddy Nirmashanda is doing the work, the rest are just decoration. Peas, yeah. Yeah. Just to be there. As a child, we were given a sack of peas to shell. Now you get them in a box or a carton or a bag. But as children, we had to shell the peas, yes. Beautiful, beautiful. So, you know, this is all, I'm asking you, of course, to look at this. It's lovely, brings us happiness, but the fullness of happiness in relationships. And, you know, it's a very practical thing. And I think this, you know, what you've mentioned, trust, safety, so important to share happiness in a way that people feel a sense of closeness and belonging and a sense of trust. Because there's such a lack of trust in the world today. And it's something that's so needed. And you can imagine the souls, you know, when they came to Baba and when we come to Baba, it's like you find your people, you know, you find the ones, okay, we all know we have ups and downs, but fundamentally, you know, this is where you belong. So really important to think about happiness in that way. And so let's think about how we can share happiness so beautifully. So here's a quote from Baba. Today, happiness, peace, and contentment are decreasing in the world. So now, you souls who are worthy of receiving God's love need to give souls a handful of love, contentment, and happiness. You have to give a handful of happiness to the unhappy souls. Firstly, give sakash by serving with your mind, and secondly, reveal the Father through your face and activity. So all the levels, which we'll go into now. But there's a fundamental shift that needs to happen if I'm really going to give happiness. And it's a fundamental shift in my consciousness from taking to giving. Now, a lot of the time, we often don't realize how much we're in that mode of taking. We want a little bit of support, approval, recognition, whatever it is. We want to be acknowledged by someone. We want someone to apologize for what they did to us, you know, or what they said. You know, all of this is taking. All of this indicates there's still a state of need in the soul. And I've not taken everything that I need from Baba. And it's only when I switch from taking to giving that I really can become a giver of happiness. And, you know, what happens is that when we feel we need to take something, maybe from a situation or from a person, it means that I'm maybe from a service activity, you know, that's a very common one. We enjoy particular activities, which is fine to enjoy everything. Enjoy being in service, enjoy the relationships. But what am I being sustained by? I'm being sustained by Baba's love. And of course the love of the family, but as we described this morning, as we give, so we receive the return. But we have to be the givers first. And for that I need to be sustained by Baba. And if I'm taking from a particular situation, then actually what's happening is that rather than identifying with the truth of who I am, I'm identifying with that situation. That becomes part of my identity. And whatever you identify with, you give power to. And eventually, it will overpower you. And Baba brought this up in a murli, an Aviat murli, I think last year or something. And Baba talked about this. Whatever you identify... No, it was in a Sakha murli, actually. And Baba was talking about the identification with body consciousness. And so, through the cycle, but it happens in Sangam Yuga, we identify with the body and the roles of the body and the relationships of the body, and so gradually power drains from the soul to those identities, and we don't have power left within. So I have to be very careful, very aware of what I'm giving power to, and how am I accumulating power from Baba. So this shift from taking to giving, and the shift from taking to giving, when that happens, I will no longer have that kind of feeling inside, not even a trace of feeling sorry for myself. You know, at times we can feel a little bit sorry for ourselves. This happened, that happened, da da da. Well, I'm still not in the mode of taking. And, sorry? You see, if you have a faulty connection, anybody good at these things? No? Okay. Let's carry on. Okay, so the few examples I wanted to give from actually interactions with Daddy Janki, which about this giving to taking. No, taking to giving. I think it's this that's faulty because the plug inside is faulty. That's why it got taped up. I don't think you can do it because under the tape something's come loose now. Anyway, I think we just cut. Okay. And there was, while Daddy was in London, she was sharing her story of how, you know, when the picture of the tree was first created, and Baba had certain souls sitting at the roots of the tree. What it is, this was taped up because there was a loose connection. Mm-hmm. So I think this in here has come loose, mm-hmm. and it's not working anymore. So I don't think we can do anything about it. This?
No,
that won't affect it. It's
because
this.
The connection from there to there is not there.
No. The battery's gone on the computer. The computer's not live. Oh, now it's come. Ah, you see? That's what it's telling me. It's okay. It's okay. I'm not going to get the power. Okay, let's ignore it and carry on. Okay. So, you know, the picture of the tree that was created, and there were certain things at the roots of the tree, certain things, people that Baba put at the roots of the tree, and Daddy Janki's picture was not there. And she said, I said to myself, maybe I'm not worthy to be at the roots of the tree. Baba hasn't put me there. Now, how would you respond if... Hold on a second. Now, how would you respond? I'm sure we've all had those moments where we felt not included in something or rejected or not worthy, right? Mm-hmm. And then what do we do? We begin to turn it in on ourselves. And Daddy's response was very interesting. She said, I thought to myself, maybe I'm not worthy. So then I decided I'm going to make extra effort. And that really struck me. And I thought, this is the sign of someone who's a giver and a bestower. That I'm not going to sit there. I'm going to take charge. I'm going to make extra effort. And I noted that in myself. Don't get into that mode. That was very interesting. And this time I asked a question to Daddy. And I said to her that, you know, when people challenge you or insult you, and it happens, you know, your discipline is to not answer back, to stay quiet, to be loving, you know, not get into an argument. But then I said to her, sometimes I feel as if by doing that, I'm not facing the situation and I'm avoiding something. And so what's the right thing to do? And Daddy turned to Sister Genty and said to her, "What answer would you give?" And she said, "I'd say, face the situation with peace." And Daddy said, "No, if you even have the thought that you need to face the situation, it means you've already been affected by it." And she said, "You know, if somebody comes to me, they say something, they go away, I'm left the same as I was. Doesn't have any effect." So I was thinking, you know, even that thought that we need to use the powers, it means already there's an effect. And so if I'm really, you know, taking what I need from Baba, and I'm in that yogic stage, then the powers will be used, will come to me automatically. So I thought that was very interesting. So these are all signs of, you know, a soul who will be, is a bestower, doesn't think for a moment that they have to depend on anything. And then there was another thing that happened. This was last year. And there's something that was on my mind that I felt was an injustice, wasn't right, you know? And I was feeling bad about it and wanting to put it right and, you know, and then I realized that there was actually anger inside, you know, about this situation. So we were in this silence, Betty, and it was on my mind, and I said, okay, I have to tell this to Daddy now and just get rid of it and, you know, tell her openly this is what's on my mind. And we came down to Daddy's room, small group of us, and Daddy, it was silent, so Daddy gave us all drishti. And then she said, "I'm just going to say two words to you, to all of us, forgive and forget." And I had tears in my eyes, and then I spoke. I said, "Daddy, I was going to tell you about a situation that was troubling me, but without me saying it, you've given me the answer." So it's really beautiful. We cannot be overcome by anything. And it's a very subtle effort inside, isn't it? A very subtle awareness inside. And something else that Daddy's been saying too, which has been very lovely, she said, and she said this a few times now, "Forget the past and do not have any expectations for the future. So let the soul really be free." And sometimes people ask me the question, how can I, when people have negative feelings towards me or there's negativity in the atmosphere, how can I protect myself? And I always say, well, don't think about protecting yourself, because then we'll put a barrier and somebody will be in and somebody will be out. But actually, if you're giving, you're giving love, you're taking from Baba, you're giving, you're sharing, the more I give, the more there's a force field of good vibrations around me. And then no negativity can affect me anyway. So the best way to protect myself is actually to give something. And there's a very lovely blessing which apparently is comes up on a particular card, I don't know, but it's the card I got, and I really kept it with me. You have the maturity to go beyond expectations and the love to keep on giving. And that's what we need to do. If we're going to give happiness, we have to keep on giving no matter what. So let's look at how we give happiness. Three levels of giving happiness. So first, giving happiness through the mind. And of course, Baba tells us that the most elevated service you can do is service through the mind. But you can't do that unless you've had that preparation of cleaning out and of establishing yourself in an elevated stage through dharana. Because it's fine to say that I'm giving happiness to the whole world and I love the whole world, and yet I can't get on with the person that I live with. Then you can't give happiness to the world. It doesn't hold true, right? So giving happiness to the mind is having that presence of happiness, the vibrations of happiness that uplift the atmosphere. And in that, there's literally no place for revenge. And Baba talked about revenge in the Sakam really a few months ago. And, you know, even subtly, if I want to prove something that I'm better than someone, you know, there can be subtle ways of which we take revenge on others. And so, no trace of that. A pure benevolence, which is what we see in the Dadis. No place for proving myself or for seeing others as a problem. The minute I see others as a problem, I will never be able to give them happiness. Oh, there it is, it's gone. And then, through words, using words, you will get this PowerPoint, so it'll be there for you. Using words that make other souls feel stable in their self-respect. And for this I need to put aside my own needs, because every soul does need respect and love. And again, words that are filled with any kind of intention to prove, to humiliate somebody else, or even words that try to show that I'm clever. You know, all of these things are all part of the ego. And it's not going to be possible to give happiness through our words. So really words that honor and respect others. And I'd just like to share an example. There's one brother who has been a BK for many, many years. And, you know, lately has been getting a little bit into Christianity. So he's sort of Christianity, BK, still living in one of Baba's houses. And he doesn't come every day to the class, but there was one day when he came to the class and Baba was talking about Mary, you know, Christ, the mother of Christ, Mary. And in the Murli revision, then he started to speak. And he gave a whole sort of speech about Mary. And it wasn't Gyan, you know, it was sort of not in line with Gyan in that sense. And I listened, I was taking the class that day and I listened. And then I said to myself, well, I don't want to challenge him. He's an old Brahmin. So I want to keep a good atmosphere and I want to keep his honor. So I simply agreed with him, I thanked him, and then we carried on. I didn't try to tell him, look, actually Gyan says this, and Baba says this, and you know. And afterwards somebody said to me, I understood what you did. You know, you wanted to keep his honor and respect. And so little things like this are just very, very important. Often we want to jump in and prove something, but words that take away someone's honor and respect then give sorrow. And why should I give sorrow through my words? So we need to be very, very attentive to our words. Words, you see the up there, there's the slogan. It's about a doctor-patient relationship, but it says, hand that never hurts and the tongue that never cuts. The hand that never hurts and the tongue that never cuts. Because the tongue is like a weapon, isn't it? You know? Very sharp. So to be mindful of my words. And then through actions. Actually, the simplest of actions can give happiness. And I know I need to do more work on this. Things like punctuality. Putting my dishes away. Sometimes we live with people who don't clean their dishes. Then you have to clean their dishes. Then you have to do it with love. I often can do things that and become an instrument to cause waste thoughts in others. And then I'm giving sorrow, I'm not giving happiness. And often we think, oh, it doesn't matter. It does matter. Baba would teach them to be accurate in everything. And there's a very nice story of Mama, little Mohini Ben of Madhuban. She used to, whether it was Karachi time or early time here, but she used to come late for her meals. You know that story. And one of the sister who was serving the meals complained to Mama. So what Mama did, she put Mohini Ben on duty for serving meals for 2 weeks. And then she understood how important it was to be punctual for her meals. And, you know, we can get so caught up in things and then forget that we're absorbed in our own world and we think, oh, we're doing great, but we may be ignoring something else that needs our attention. So we really need to be all around, and so not to give sorrow in that way either. And also, a little act of kindness can really give a lot of happiness. Just to be thoughtful about other people's needs. I used to eat walnuts, love walnuts. And when Sister Jenti, particularly when she would go to Poland, and you get very good walnuts in Poland, when she'd come back, a little bag of walnuts would always land on my desk. A little thought, you know, and it made me feel very loved and valued, and it was just a little act of a few walnuts and putting it on your desk. So, you know, these little things of care are really, really important. So I can give a lot of happiness in this way, doing that little bit extra for somebody. And I'd also say, you know, when somebody's going through a difficulty, never say to them, oh, it's your karma. That's the worst thing you can say to a Brahmin. I mean, well, certainly not to a non-Brahmin, but even to a Brahmin. They know about karma philosophy very much. They want your love and sympathy at that moment, not being told, well, it's your karma, get on with it. So we have to be very, very aware and sensitive. Not sensitive in a sensitive, touch-me-not way, but sensitive to the needs of others. And, you know, when you're connected with Baba, Baba helps you. Baba helps to broaden your vision. So you don't just see what's in front of you, but you're aware of the wider consequences. And Baba will give you those touchings of what is needed. And when Daddy arrived in London in January, she met everyone, like the big group, and then I just went upstairs to say hello to her personally. And she said, how are you? Fine. How's your health? I said, fine. And then she's not seen me for a few months. And out of the blue, she just said to me, are you eating enough fruit? I said, yes, Daddy. Then afterwards, I thought about it. I'm not eating enough fruit. Somehow, you know, like a mother, you know. So these little things really, really mean a lot. So, yeah, and very important in giving happiness is understanding others, you know, and not just saying, oh, well, you know, that's their part and that's it. Yes, we need that sort of to say everybody's part is their own so that we don't get affected. But then how can I help? How can I understand? And a great act of giving happiness is often just listening. You know, somebody has a problem, they often don't really need you to give a solution, they just need you to listen. And you need your two ears and a heart to listen. And listening means being attentive to the person, not thinking about 20 other things as they're talking to you, or preparing or judging them as they're talking to you. I remember once I went in front of Baba and I had to tell Baba something. And it was as if nobody else existed in the world for Baba at that moment. The way he paid attention. You know how the daddies pay attention to us and they listen to us. So can we do that, that act of kindness to others? So we have all the examples in front of us. We just need to learn. We just need to follow. We just need to do it. And another thing that gives a lot of happiness, actually, is sharing information. Because sometimes when someone withholds information from you, it can give sorrow. Have you experienced that? Someone asks you to do a task, and they give you this much information, and they hold back. And it's a way of controlling. And so, okay, of course there's always discretion of things you can say and not say, but give a person the full information that they need to do what they need to do, or what they, you know, need to know. And that gives happiness. And the person then feels that they're trusted. And if you put your trust in somebody, it pays off. They will reciprocate and they won't let you down. So that's another thing. And being flexible, letting go of control, it's a very big sanskar because of the insecurities that we carry with us from Kali Yuga. It's a big sanskar to control. I feel secure when I'm in control. And, you know, I guess being in London where you have, you know, a community of 300 and 300 sets of sanskaras, and over the years I learned I can't control anything or anyone and just let go and Baba will take care of it. And it really works much better. And at least, if nothing else, I have peace of mind. And you know how in the family there's always those souls who like to be policemen, you know? And sometimes I get, there's two or three who do this, I get these phone calls, you know, so-and-so's doing this and you should do something about it. And just, I say, okay, thank you. And generally, unless it's really something serious, I will not act on it because I know drama's going to take care of it. And if I just give good wishes, as you said, the situation, often you just wait and the situation evens out. Daddy often, I go to her, Daddy, we need this or that. She says, just wait, just wait. But, just wait. So you learn. Drama has its own pace. And our own impatience actually drives away the thing that we need, drives away the solutions that we need. So these are very, very important things. And do not allow your own needs to overtake you. The best way to fulfill your own needs is to give to others. And Baba said this in the Murli, if you're lacking a virtue, give that virtue. Then of course it'll come to you. So this giving, giving. Okay, so now a little reflection for 5-10 minutes. Can you list, and this is purely personal for you, can you list 10 practical ways in which you can give more happiness to others? 10 ways in which, you know, think about your situation, think about your, you know, the people you interact with. 10 ways in which you can give happiness, more happiness to others. And of course, if you're doing it practically, it has to be with that pure intention in your mind too. So if you'd like to just have a few minutes reflection on that, giving happiness. Om Shanti. Okay. Do you find that interesting? Very practical. How can I give happiness? So many ways to give happiness. You can make it a hobby. A hobby to give happiness to others. Okay, so now we come to that point of serving through the mind, taking sakash from Baba and sharing that sakash with the world. And so all of this is a preparation to come to that most elevated service that we need to take time to do, whether it's in the early morning, different times during the day. Sometimes I would see Dadi, sometimes just sitting on her own, and I could feel like she was like a generator of good vibrations. She's like a generator sitting there, churning out these good vibrations, giving out Baba's Sakash. So we must never forget that very, very important responsibility that we have. And there's a very beautiful definition Gentiban gave of this once, of serving through the mind. To fill yourself with so much from Baba that it overflows. Fill yourself with so much from Baba that it overflows. So it's not that you have to sit there thinking, okay, let me give this or this or this, but just fill yourself and let the ocean overflow through you and out to the world. And so I thought the best way we can look at this section is to do that together. So I'd like us to meditate together for about 10 minutes, and I'll share a commentary on giving Sakash to the world. Okay, you ready for the journey? So be relaxed, feel comfortable. First of all, I remember my original state of truth, the truth of who I am. I, the soul, in my original state of being. I am peace. I am love. I am purity. I am truth. I am happiness. And in that state of being, there's a beautiful silence within. I remember who I belong to. I belong to Baba. And with a thought, I go beyond. Beyond the consciousness of the body. Beyond this world of matter. To my home of silence. The place of rest and comfort, the place where I am in Baba's presence, I, the soul, the light. Touch the light of God. become one with Baba. I've left everything behind. The past, the future. I've become timeless in my eternal relationship with Baba. I'm free. Free to absorb myself in the ocean of peace. In the ocean of love. Of purity. Joy. I feel Baba's love. Baba's acceptance of the soul. How dear I am to Baba. How Baba cherishes me, takes care of me. I am his dearest child. And in the midst of this ocean of love, I feel a current of power coming to me. Current that fills me with strength. That keeps me safe. And everything begins to overflow in the soul. Peace pours out. Love pours out. Happiness spreads all around. The vibrations reach far and wide. There are no limits. There are no limits to vibrations. Baba's love spreads across the earth. Giving hope. Giving courage. Touching human hearts, bringing clarity, awakening the conscience of others. Baba does his work. Through I, the soul, the instrument. I don't need to know where that love is going. I just know that Baba is reaching out, and I'm happy for that. I have the honor of being a helper in Baba's task of transformation. In silence, let those vibrations reach out. Gradually, I return to this world of matter, to my body, to the room. I know who I am. I know who I belong to, and I know what it is that I have to do. Om Shanti. Thank you. Okay, just take another 5 minutes, maybe, if there's any reflections you have, anything you want to ask, anything you want to share. Not someone, but if you are lacking a virtue. So say, for example, I know that, you know, I need more sweetness, for example. So if I think that I have to donate that virtue, that I have to be an example to help others become more sweet, then I will naturally begin to do it myself. If I see that there's another soul who needs more humility, then if I think about becoming an example to inspire them rather than judging them, I will begin to practice it myself. So all the time thinking about what it is that I'm giving through my being, through my presence. It is. That's why we spend a lot of time on it. Humility is a strength. We have to remember that. Fatima says humility is very challenging. And it really is about being very, very stable in your self-respect. And so people then won't see you as somebody who can be taken advantage of. And I think there's very often a misunderstanding about humility. Even amongst Brahmins, you know, well, I have to stand up for myself, you know. But if you're stable in your self-respect and you have that inner strength, people actually feel that strength from you and they begin to respect you. They won't have that feeling to challenge you in the same way, or be aggressive with you or whatever. But it needs to be a strong vibration coming from you. And sometimes we do have to say things. It's not that we just sit there. But if I really have humility, I'll be able to say something, and because the intention will be so pure and it won't be filled with ego of mine, others will be able to listen. And I see this with Daddy Janki. She's very straightforward, right? But the intention is so pure and there's no ego with it that we want to listen to it. You wouldn't say that she's weak because she's humble. She's very, very strong, all our daddies. So it's having that presence and always remembering that humility and self-respect and dignity and royalty absolutely go together. And so if you feel I'm being humble but I don't feel self-respect, then you haven't understood what humility is. It's a great strength. It is challenging, and you have to work on your own mind. You have to make sure that you don't get into a big dialogue or sort of monologue of waste thoughts about a person and what they're doing and why they're doing it and why they shouldn't be doing it. You have to let it be. But then at the right time, when you see the right moment, you need to act. So it's not that we just ignore something, but when it's the right time, the right moment, to say something, to act, to help somebody, we have to do it. And we have the strength to do it. That's the power of humility. Free, peaceful at that moment. You know, you really have to trust Baba in these things. You know, you have to be very connected. And, you know, I've seen the daddies, they will act. And they will take the opportunity to act. But they really trust Baba to guide them. And we don't trust Baba enough in this. You know what we were, you know, this is, I know myself. You feel you need to take it on yourself, but really Baba has to do the task. So in really trusting Baba, it's amazing how opportunities open up. That's what I've found. But if I'm trying to see myself, then it becomes a struggle. So, you know, I'm learning this more and more and more, how to put things on Baba. It's definitely a work in progress for me, but I'm learning it more and more and seeing how effective it is. And Baba will find the way, and Baba will touch that soul also. But you also can't just let things continue. There have to be, you know, since as we've gone on in the yajna, and you know, we've had a lot of things about procedures and, you know, laws and, you know, so, and we've communicated that to the family, and communication is really important. So if you are taking an action, communicate why you're doing it, so that the person understands. If you want to tell them something, you know, really with that inner feeling that I'm doing something really for your benefit, you know, so that we, people feel those pure intentions from us. But we do have to act, so it's not just about sitting there, you know. We do have to act. And, you know, we have to save a soul even from their own sanskaras at times. We need saving from our own sanskaras, and we need to save a soul from their sanskaras. And I know sometimes I've sat down with souls and I've, like, pleaded with them, you know. You know, can you see what you're doing? And they felt the love, so they've listened. Now, whether they've acted or not, it really is then up to them. What can you do? You can't live another person's life for them. But with your own love and good feeling, you can really try to explain to them, do you understand what you're doing to yourself and what the consequences will be? So, yes, we can't ignore anything, but we need to know when to act. And there's no prescription, really. You have to understand more and more your yogic stage. I'm sorry, I know we could go on, but I actually have to go to Shantiwan for a meeting, and I have to leave in about 10 minutes, so I think we have to close there. But thank you very, very much, and let's just have a moment of silence together, and